Hey guys, welcome to the Fellowship Greenville Students Podcast. This week, Matt Denske continues our series, Relationship Goals, where we'll talk about friendships, dating, and marriage. Matt talks about friendships this week and what it means to be a godly friend. He talks about seeking belonging and problems with only connecting online, and also talks through four aspects of a godly friendship: being constant, aware, honest, and giving counsel. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right. Guys, welcome. Welcome to Fellowship Greenville Students. We are so glad that you guys are here. If it's your first time ever or you just haven't been in a while, my name is Matt Denske, the student ministry pastor here. Thank you guys. Thank you. Love you guys. Y'all are my dogs. I love you guys. And we're thrilled you're here, man. We started a series last week called Relationship Goals. There's a picture of us at the beach. No, that's a stock photo we found online. I don't know who that is. We had to Photoshop it out, so we didn't pay for the photo. We just started a series last week called Relationship Goals, and we looked at Genesis chapter 2. What was God doing with Adam and in Adam even before Eve was ever in the picture? Because the reality is so many of us try to find certain things through other people, through people we're dating, through people we're crushing on, through our boo, through our bae, or whatever. We try to find all those through other people, and we took a look at Genesis 2 to see what is God doing in Adam even before Eve. And we saw that God was giving Adam his purpose. Hey, here's where I'm placing you. I'm placing you in this garden. I want you to tend the land and work the land. He gave God his purpose. He gave Adam his identity. Adam was created in the image of God, Genesis 1:27. So he has his identity. And then God said, hey, listen, anything in the garden you're welcome to do, you're welcome to eat, you can have it all. It's yours. I created it for you, heaven on earth, paradise at hand. Except one thing. I don't want you to eat this tree over here. It will kill you. I know things about yourself you don't know. I see the bigger picture. You got to trust me on this. If you eat from that tree, it will hurt you. And so he's teaching Adam restraint by defining parameters. So he gives him his purpose, his personhood, and parameters all before Eve is ever in the picture. Very important things to nail down with God before you start looking for others in this life. Now, I told you on week one, every week is not going to be about dating. All right, so if you're in here and you're like, dude, I just do not want to hear like dating sermons over and over and over, I don't blame you. That's totally fine. The name of the series is not Dating Goals, it's Relationship Goals. And so I said, we're going to be covering dating as well as some friendship things and marriage things. February 21st, let me just remind you, my boo, my bae, is going to be up in this place dropping some wisdom. And I'm going to be embarrassing the heck out of her, okay? I can't wait. Oh my gosh, my sweetheart, my bride, my beautiful wife, Lauren, is going to be here February 21st. And we're kind of doing like a Q&A type thing, ask me anything. And last week, I brought attention to this bucket. I said, hey, look, if you have any questions about relationships, dating, friendship, marriage, about whatever, put them in this bucket. You can be anonymous if you want to. And some of you guys submitted some questions last week, and I was reading through them this week. They were awesome. Like, there were some great questions in there. I was like, wow, man, I can't wait for February 21st because my wife and I are going to be teaching based on your questions. So if the bucket stays empty, the sermon stays short, all right? Oh, don't let that motivate you. Put questions in the bucket, all right? I'll make it long if it's empty. No, put questions in the bucket because I want to speak to your heart. I want to know where you're at. Keep it anonymous if you're embarrassed. That's fine. But at the end of the night tonight, if you got something stirred up, you're like, man, I just want to know. I want to know their perspective. What does Matt and his wife think about this? Anything is allowed. Ask me anything. It doesn't mean we'll answer it, but at least ask it, and we might. You never know. All right, so put it in the bucket. I can't wait. So tonight, guys, we are talking not about dating, not about romance. We are talking about friendship. If you saw, yeah, it's super exciting. If you saw the Instagram story, then you knew what was coming tonight, friendship. And a few of you are excited, which excites me. I'm glad that you're excited. But let's be honest, friendship, it's not like the catchiest of things to throw out. Like, oh man, you should come to church tonight because he's going to be talking about friendship. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, it's just not, let's face it, it's just not that sexy. Like, it just doesn't grab your attention. Woo! This man is in the house of God and said the word sexy. God invented that. So I think it's okay. Sheesh. But friendship, it's just not that alluring. Like, it's not, I mean, look, you go online, I mean, this past week alone, you go online and it's like, I saw an article like, Kim is divorcing Kanye for XYZ. I'm like, ooh, what's going on? What's the drama? What's the tea, sis? Like, I want to know. And then I saw some article that was like, Melania surprisingly loyal to Trump. Like, I was like, ooh, shots fired, but I'm interested. I want to know why she's surprisingly loyal. I want to know that juice. What's up? The drama, the relationship drama, the romance, man, that's what sells. Hollywood knows this. All the movies, front and center, what's in them. It's not friendship. It's romance. That's what sells. You see a news article online that's like, hey, Cardi B just made a new friend named Jane. You're like, oh, okay. Like, it just doesn't grab you, you know? Like, there's not enough drama there. Friendship, it's just not the most appealing of topics. But the irony is, the Bible has a lot to say about friendships. What is a good friend? How to be a good friend? Why do you need friends? In fact, I would go as far as to say, if you do not have good friends in this life, you will not make it. You will not make it. Like, you are toast without good friends. Our faith, our pursuit of Jesus, our decision to follow Jesus was an individual decision. You chose to do that. It's an individual decision, but it's not an individual faith. We do this together. It's an individual decision with a communal approach. Without good friends, you won't make it. And I think the problem is we don't know how to define good friends. We don't know what they would look like. In fact, I think we're so used to toxic friendships and to dysfunctional friendships. And let's face it, guys, middle school friendships can be brutal and flaky and like, whoa, like girls, middle school for girls is like, oh man, pray for my daughter now. Like I'm terrified, man. Y'all are, like it's, I'm scared. Middle schoolers are mean, man. Have y'all ever gone back to middle school since you've left middle school? They will roast you like the moment you walk in. They give you, it's this right here. Like, dang. All right, you don't even have to say anything and you killed me. In high school, I mean, let's face it, you guys know, there's tons of drama. There's tons of gossip. Tons of flakiness. Tons of dissension. Inconsistency. Your BFF changes like once every 6 months. I mean, what's the deal, man? Like, we don't know how to define what good friends are. What it should look like. And because we've gotten so used to kind of toxic friendships, we've begun to assume like, oh, this is normal, I guess. When in fact, I think a biblical and a godly view of friendships is normal, but it seems so different to us and so weird to us. And now it's like abnormal. Like, wow, who lives like that? That's just weird. You need good friends or you will not make it. So I was wondering, what can I say to them tonight? I'm gonna give us some golden rules of friendship right now. Okay, I'm gonna save you a lot of time, a lot of pain right now. Are you ready? You ready? So here's some golden rules. I'm gonna say them and then the sermon's done. I'm gonna walk off the stage. I'm gonna let you chew on them. I'm gonna let you chew on them for half an hour. That's the sermon. Ready? Stop trying to resolve your conflict over text message. Semicolon, just do it in person, okay? Now I'm gonna save you a lot of time right there. Stop trying to resolve your drama and your conflict over text message. You can include in that social media. Stop subtweeting. Just go talk to them, okay? Be a grown-up. That's golden rule number one. Here's golden rule number two. Ready? Say it to their face, not behind their back, or don't say it at all. Thank you. Hey, I like this group right here. I like this group. Y'all like, yeah, yeah, pastor, yeah. Amen. Keep it going. Yeah? You need one more? Hit him again. All right, I'm going to give you one more. Here's number three. Followers are not equal to friends. And I just need to let y'all know that. All right, now I'm out, and y'all chew on that for a while. No, I'm kidding. I got more to say than that. I wanted to think tonight, like, man, what could I tell them? If I got one shot to start talking about what is a good friend, and the Bible has so much to say, what is a good friend? And I have so much to say. And I keep like shaving it. I'm like, dude, I can't speak for 2 hours. Like, they leave, man. Like, so I'm trying to like condense this thing down. And I thought maybe, just maybe, we should turn to one of the greatest sources of wisdom, I think, of our generation. One of the greatest songs ever written about friendship. And derive and distill some wisdom out of this song. Can we cue that up, please? Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Do you know this song? Okay, you're just not singing. Yes. But I'll be there for you. That's wisdom. Yes. Yeah, man. Whew. Yeah, there it is. There it is. Just imagine if we play the full version. One more time. All right. Listen to this. I'll be there for you. Background voice, when the rain starts to pour. That's wisdom. What they're saying, listen. Y'all thought I was joking. There's some wisdom. There's some godly wisdom packed in this song. When did this show come out? Like 20 years ago? Yeah. They knew what was up. They had a prophecy, okay? They saw into the heavens and were like, let's write about this. I'll be there for you even when the rain starts to pour. So, unconditional. If it's raining, I'm just like the U.S. Postal Service. I'm out there delivering friendship for you, okay? No conditions are going to keep me away. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. So a little reference flex, okay? I've been here. I'm consistent in this thing. I've been here before. I'll be there again. And I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Mutual. Wow. Thank you, friends, sitcom, for teaching us so much about... Thank you. Yes, yes. Monica, yes, you're... Thank you. Okay. No, okay. So where are we going to go tonight? It's not a friend song, and it's not me being silly. I want to go to the scriptures. And truthfully, I stumbled upon a sermon a number of years ago. Our brother up in New York named Tim Keller. Some of you guys may know him. He's a phenomenal preacher. He's much better than me, so go listen to him. But he preached a sermon in 2005, okay, 16 years ago, maybe when some of you were born. He preached a sermon in 2005 on friendship. And I stumbled upon it a number of years ago, and I listened to it, and I immediately sent it to my best friend on the planet, and I had him listen to it. I was like, dude, you got to listen to this, man, because this describes us so well. Little bro bond. Actually, it described friendship so well, and we realized, dude, some of this is true, but man, there's stuff we can work on. But tonight, I thought, dude, let me kind of dig out of the archives a Tim Keller sermon. I want to revamp it a little bit, but I want to draw some wisdom from our brother up in New York, because that sermon shaped me. It was so good. So if you think my sermon's good tonight, thank you, but it's really not mine. I'm just stealing. But hey, man, in the gospel community, preachers just preach this so that people can take them and redo them. Okay, so... No worries there. All right, so here's where I'd like to go. I want to look at a number of scriptures out of the book of Proverbs tonight. Proverbs is this kind of, maybe you've never dug into it, but it's this book in the Old Testament. It's oftentimes referred to as a book of wisdom because it just has these sayings. Like in our culture, we think of tweets this way. Like, hey, how many characters do you get on Twitter now? I don't know. 120? Thank you, guys. You were very helpful tonight. All right. So you guys know you get a certain number of characters on Twitter to tweet, right? Proverbs is kind of like that. It's like, hey, I'm about to drop a one-liner. I'm going to have a mic drop moment. I'm just going to give you something, and I'm just going to leave it there, and it's so good. There's entire chapters that just have these like boom, 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 these one-liners. It's this book of wisdom. And I want to go to Proverbs tonight. We're going to look at 8 different Proverbs tonight. And at first, some of them are like, dude, what does that mean? Because you got to remember, Proverbs is written a long, long time ago. It's written in Hebrew, and it utilizes Hebrew poetry and figurative language and some nuances in Hebrew culture, and we'll kind of break down what they mean. But I want to look at 8 different Proverbs tonight as we begin our journey. But what is a friend? What is a friend? What is friendship? What's really interesting about our culture is, like many cultures, we don't put a lot of emphasis on friendship. As I said earlier, it's just not that sexy. Like, it just doesn't grab you. It doesn't appeal. He said it again. Okay, it doesn't appeal, right? Think about it. It's this kind of obscure category of love. It's not front and center. So you think about some other categories like erotic love or romantic love. Like, that's how you got here. I don't know if you know that or if you've ever backtracked, but that's how you got here. Erotic love. That's how you exist. And then you have like familial love, your family, the structure of a family. That's how you were shaped. That's how you were raised, for better or for worse. You're carrying baggage right now, for better or for worse, because of your family. It shaped you. It raised you. The family love. And then we have like neighborly love or civil love. And that's how you survive. We have laws. We live together kind of abiding under this blanket of laws. And that's how, as communities, we work together without like ripping each other's heads off over petty things. And so you have erotic love, you have family love, you have neighborly love. And then you have this category, friendship. Like it's this whole different thing. And the reason it's so unique is because in many ways, a friend has to be discovered. It's really not something you just decide, I'm going to wake up today and make a friend. Like, we tell little kids that, right? Like, go to school and make friends, buddy. But what we're really saying is, like, socialize. Like, don't just plant yourself to the wall and be awkward. Like, try to talk to some people. But many friends, it's not just something that you decide, I'm going to make one and it's made. You kind of stumble into it because you realize, oh, here's a person that has mutual interests. Like, you like those things, I like those things. Well, let's kind of see where this goes. You think about romantic relationships. Romantic relationships are pretty regularly defining how they feel about each other, right? We call that a DTR, define the relationship. Usually happens at about the 1.5 month mark when the girl is super confused by what the dude is doing. And she's like, hey, can we talk? Okay, that's a define the relationship. Man, I'm hitting some of y'all. Some of y'all are not laughing at that because you're like, I was going to talk to him tonight. How did he know? Romantic relationships define their relationship. Where are we at? Think about it. You don't do that with your friends. You don't go to your bro and be like, hey, man, can we have a DTR? Like, I just want to know how you feel about me, dude. Like, it just now I feel weird about, like, I'm out. You don't do it. Because a friendship just kind of naturally progresses based on mutual interests. It evolves naturally. It's this unique relationship. It's unlike anything else. A friend, a true friend, is rare because you are committing out of a passionate love to be this person's friend, if you know what a good friend means. You're choosing to do it. You're choosing it. So what is a good friend? Well, in our American culture, you know, we're very autonomous, very individualistic. We like to live under the idea that, like, hey, we define who we are. Like, I'm the captain of my ship, commander of my soul, dog. Like, I define who I am. No, you don't. Not really. See, when you were younger, your family really defined who you were. Your traditions, your insecurities, your victories, the structure you have. Like, a lot of that came from your family unit. As you get older, you realize, oh, I'm defined by my friends. In fact, biblically speaking, the company you keep will affect you for better or for worse. Those principles are all throughout the scriptures. You don't define who you are. You may like to think that you do, but let's be honest. For the past 20 years, in the forefront of the culture of adolescence, in the forefront of the mind of the culture of adolescence, has been the desire to belong. The introduction of the internet, mixed with loneliness and anxiety and kind of this uncontrolled outcomes thing going on with millennials and Gen Zs and all these things happening in culture and whatever else, we desire to belong. We want to know where we fit in. We want our tribe. We want our people. We want to feel secure socially. In fact, this drives us so much so that we will even adopt our behavior to fit into a group, like chameleons. Well, if all of a sudden we find ourselves belonging, we'll like totally blend in. Like, yeah, I totally belong here, man. Like, I'm into tech decks too. Like, we'll do anything. And after we adopt our behavior for long enough, we begin to adopt our beliefs. We begin to take on what they believe. Some of you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. This is hitting your heart a little bit. You desire to belong. It's natural. But then comes the introduction of internet and then the evolution of social media. And now you've been convinced you can belong simply because you have likes and you have followers. we kind of live in this idea that, oh, I have friendships, like digitally, globally. The double-edged sword of social media, guys, let's be honest, is that it does make you feel very, very close to those who are far away. The double-edged sword is it makes you feel very far away to those who are close. We have gotten sucked into this idea that my community and my belonging is found in a digital space. And I would just like to offer to you, you cannot have true friends through a digital platform, because a digital platform does not offer proximity and community, which are necessary for friendships. And therefore, because we've convinced ourselves we found belonging through this digital space, and we keep posting and sharing and even faking experiences just so that we have stuff to share, because if I don't share, I no longer belong, we're living this kind of facade of a life. And so the comparison game ramps up, anxieties ramp up. You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah. All of a sudden, we feel incredibly lonely, and then we look around and we realize, wow, I don't have any true friends, and then we realize, wow, I've neglected the people around me, but now we don't have the skills developed to actually do anything. We don't know how to hold a conversation. We go to restaurants and get on our phone. We don't know how to process our emotions. When stuff gets hard, we distract ourselves with our phone. We don't know how to deal, and therefore, we just keep getting sucked more and more into the digital space. We don't know how to make friends anymore. It's a problem of my generation and yours. Is that Landon? You guys know what I'm saying? Okay. Your silence makes me think I either lost you or I just hit you a little bit. So what is a friend? What is a friend? Because it's not in the digital space. You can connect digitally, but you can't have community digitally. What is a friend? I want to look at the book of Proverbs. I want to read some scriptures tonight, 8 Proverbs in total. Some of them are a little weird, like I said, but let's look at the first two. I'm going to do 4 pairs of 2. These are the first 2 Proverbs. Proverbs 17, verse 17. Let's throw this one up on the screen. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Now that's weird. Remember I said, hey man, these are kind of weird. Like we're going to have to break them down. You read it and you're like, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Like, a brother is born to fight with? Like, what does that even mean? A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a... Oh, I guess I didn't copy-paste the whole thing. There's a friend that sticks closer than a... I thought it was like a dramatic pause. A friend that sticks closer than a brother, it should say. Proverbs 18:24. That's my bad. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What does that mean? Well, here's what it's saying. It's not saying, hey, any siblings in the room? Siblings? Yeah, okay. It's not saying, hey, God gave you your siblings to fight with. They were born for adversity. Some of you are like, I knew it. Satan. Like, it's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, hey, if you have siblings, if you have a brother or a sister, you will fight. Can I get an amen? Yes. I have an older brother, all right? So I know this life. I know this life. You will fight, and you will hate each other, and you will be at each other's throats, and you'll be in each other's faces, and you'll slam doors, pow! And you'll be about to walk into the bathroom, and they'll be like, no, 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 I'm about to take a shower. You're laying on the couch, man. I'm about to do it. And they have seniority because they're older, whatever. Like, you'll label stuff in the fridge and they'll drink it anyway. Like, you'll do your stuff. You guys fight. Every sibling is going to have fights. But guess what? Come on. You know the truth. At the end of the day, you love them so much. I know sometimes you might be like, no, I don't. There's some kind of deep love, okay? It may be kind of close to hatred, but it's there, all right? Like, you could rip their face off in the morning and then go to school and see them getting bullied. And what do you do? Hey, don't talk to my brother that way! It's my job, right? Like, this weird, like, defense. I'm going to protect him and kill him. Like, that's siblings. It's a permanent love. What this verse is saying, Proverbs 17 is saying is, a brother or a sister, you guys are born into a family unit where you're going to fight. Like, you're going to have adversity, but there's this love there because you're a family that is permanent. That's the design of a family. It's permanent. But a friend, look at this, a friend loves at all times. This comparison going on is a friend doesn't have to love you. A brother or a sister, you're a family. They're going to love you at the end of the day. Even if you fight, they're going to love you. But a friend loves at all times. Why? Because they're choosing to love you. That's the emphasis of this verse. A friend is different than a sibling. A sibling's going to love you no matter what. They're a family. A friend is not family. If a friend loves you, they're choosing to. A friend loves at all times. A man of many companions, can I get a 2021 update? A man of many followers may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, what's so amazing about this verse is, this is being written in the book of Proverbs to a Middle Eastern culture thousands of years ago, which, if you know the history of Middle Eastern and Eastern cultures, family orientation was everything. Like, it's all about the family. Everything revolves around the family. So to say, hey, a friend can be closer than a brother, it's like, what? Really? No. Like, the emphasis of this verse is, you can have many, many companions, you can have acquaintances, you can have followers, you can have people you know and still come to ruin. But a friend can stick closer to a brother. So what is a good friend? This is point number one. A good friend is someone who is constant. Constant. A brother is born for adversity, a brother or sister you might fight with, but a friend loves at all times. You can come to ruin with many companions, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Maybe some of you guys have had friendships like that, where it's like you have siblings and then you have friends that are like, man, that's like my blood. Like, we weren't born into the family, but we're like brothers. I have two like that. They're rare. They don't happen every day. A good friend is someone who is constant. It requires availability. Do you get the notion from those verses we read? Man, a sibling's going to love you no matter what. A friend has to choose it. You can have many companions and come to ruin, but a friend sticks closer than a brother. It is a relationship that's been built, not inherited, but built. And a good friend is someone who is constant. It requires availability. A good friend is someone that, man, you drive to the airport at 3 a.m. to pick them up when their flight comes in. You're available. A good friend is someone who's says, I will be your friend even if it costs me something. That's a good friend. That's being constant. It's self-sacrificing. A good friend is someone who takes the call at midnight knowing it's going to be a two-hour call of me having to talk with them about stuff they're going through and not feeling burdened by that or inconvenienced by that, but being available to them because your friendship is constant. You didn't inherit it, you've created it, you've built it. You've discovered this thing. It's different than siblings. Siblings love because they're in the family. This love is a choice. You've made yourself available. A friend is someone who won't let you go to ruin. Did you see the second proverb there? A man of many companions can still go to ruin. You can have tons of attention and followers. You can be all popular. But a friend sticks closer than a brother. A friend won't let you go to ruin. If you have people in your life right now who are not making themselves available to you, I'm not talking about toxic relationships. I'm not talking about boundaries. Sometimes you need boundaries. You need people out of your life. I'm talking about something different. If you have people in your life that never make themselves available to you, never seem to sacrifice their time for you, never seem interested in your needs, they're not a good friend. They're not constant. They're around when things are convenient. And if you're doing that to others, you're not a good friend. A good friend is someone who is constant. Let's look at the next two Proverbs, Proverbs 26, 18 and 19, Proverbs 25, verse 20. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. I know, I told you some of these were weird. You're like, dude, what does that mean? We'll get there. We'll break it down. What a weird verse, man. Proverbs 25, 20. Whoever sings songs, and in the Hebrew there, it would be songs of joy, like happy songs, to a heavy heart, is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. Man, the imagery is so good, right? Like, Proverbs is what's up. So what these verses are saying, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Have you ever, maybe you've been the giver of this, but have you ever had someone like try to make a comment, try to play around with you, try to be sarcastic with you? They like poked fun at you and it actually hurt, like real bad. They touched a nerve. They put a finger in an insecurity of yours. They knew a soft spot and they went for it. Maybe they were trying to make themselves feel better about their own stuff. And when they actually realized that it hurt you, instead of owning it, instead of being like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry, man. I was just being stupid. I was just being silly. Like, I was just trying to have fun. I didn't realize it was sensitive. Instead of like taking responsibility for it, they have some approach that's like, oh, dude, I was just joking around. I was just kidding. I was just kidding. Oh, that hurt. I was just joking. I know you were joking. I'm not questioning the fact that you're joking. I'm trying to tell you it hurt. That's what this first proverb is getting at. Like a crazy person, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, like someone just walking around throwing all sorts of stuff, is the person who deceives his neighbor, and then when they get caught, they're like, I was just kidding. They don't own up to it. See, they weren't in tune to what the neighbor needed. A good friend understands what your soft spots are. A good friend understands what your insecurities are. A good friend understands what your weaknesses are. And a really, really good friend does not exploit those for the sake of their own enjoyment or humor. Being mean in the name of sarcasm is a really, really common thing. But oftentimes we're so afraid to lose this friendship when we're hurt, we don't actually tell them that it hurt. And so they just keep on picking at it, like a scab that never heals. Because we don't want to lose this friend. Why? Because we're deriving some sense of belonging or identity through the fact that we have this person in our lives. Proverbs 25, whoever sings a song of joy to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day and like vinegar on soda. In other words, it's like vinegar on soda would ruin the drink. Taking clothes off on a cold day would be nonsensical. It's like clueless. Like, hey man, it's cold outside. You're doing the opposite of what you should be doing. Singing a song of joy to someone with a heavy heart is the opposite of what you should be doing if you're a good friend. This would be like one of your best friends like just failed a test at school and they're just bummed, man. Or maybe they just broke up with their boo and they're just like, who am I going to go to COVID prom with now? And they're just aching. Or, I mean, maybe it's something really, really serious and maybe someone in their family just passed away or something like that and they're dealing with loss. And you come along and you decide, man, I know what would cheer them up. I'm going to sing Pharrell's Happy. You know what I'm saying? Like, right? Oh, your grandma just died? Well, clap along if you feel like. What's wrong with you, man? You feel how awkward and insensitive that is? That's what this proverb is getting at. Whoever sings songs of joy to a heavy heart is like someone who takes off a garment on a cold day. It's like you're clueless. And this brings me to my second point. What is a good friend? A good friend is someone who is aware. Specifically, someone who is aware of the other person. It means I care about you so much that I'm actually connected to the inner workings of your heart. I know when you're sad, and I know how to be sad with you. You see, a good friend is so aware and they're so in tune to the emotional geography of the heart that they actually hurt if you're hurting. The rule of parenting, as I have come to find out is true, is that parents will only ever be as happy as their unhappiest child. If any one of my kids is unhappy, my level of happiness can never be above that. Why? Because I love them with everything I have. And when they're heartbroken, I'm heartbroken. A good friend is someone who is so aware and so in tune. If you're hurting, it's not time for songs of joy. If you're hurting, I'm hurting. A good friend is so aware and so in tune. If these are your soft spots and insecurities, I will not poke fun at them and then say, oh, I was kidding, I was just joking. No, they're aware. When you hurt, I hurt. That's a good friend. Someone who's so aware of you and your heart that they actually feel your pain too. Aware. Let's look at our next two. Proverbs 27:5 and 27:6. Proverbs 27:5 and 27:6. Verse 5, better is open rebuke than hidden love. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Look at this contrasting, the wounds of a friend versus kisses of an enemy. There's this imagery being painted here. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. What are these verses getting at? I'm about to step on a soft spot a little bit, because I know it's hard in friendships. What these verses are getting at is there are things in my life and in your life that you do not see and that I don't see about myself. I have blind spots. I have blind spots towards my sin. I have blind spots towards hurtful things and harmful things. There are things that I do that can hurt my wife, and I don't even know that I'm doing them. There are things that I do as a dad that can hurt my kids, and I don't even know that I'm doing them. There are things I do as a friend. There are sins that I might be living in. Maybe I know them, maybe I don't. Very few people are so self-aware that they can peg those things down seamlessly and without help. We need each other. This is what these verses are getting at. A good friend is someone who will come alongside of you and speak truth to you. These words will be painful to hear, but you need to hear them. Why? Because that friend cares more about you and your well-being than to hide the truth from you. Look at the verses. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That's what it's getting at. I know this is going to hurt you, man, but I got to say this to you. I got to rebuke you. You're living in this sin, and I got to call you out. The author of Hebrews says, exhort one another daily for as long as today is called today. Every day we should be speaking truth into each other's lives. Why? Because sin is so deceitful and our hearts can harden so easily. You know one of the purposes of a friend is to keep you believing in Jesus. And you need it every day. That's what these verses are getting at. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. These verses are getting at if you are too afraid to speak truth to your friend because you're afraid it will offend them, you are not a good friend. And there's this voice in the back of our head that says, well, I love them too much to tell them that. No, you don't. You love yourself too much to tell them that. Because you're afraid of the conflict that's going to arise in that friendship. So you avoid it. That's not a good friend. But here's the deal. Let's go ahead and throw what the word is, honest. Good friend is honest. When a good friend is honest, paired with a good friend is aware, our second point, that's the winning combination. You need both, not one or the other. It's easy to be aware and sensitive. Like, it's easy to come along and be like, oh, you're hurting, dude. Let me hurt with you. Let me cry with you, man. And never call out their sin. That's easy. Great, you're an encourager. You're a comforter. Awesome. But when are you actually going to help them see their blind spots? When are you going to sharpen them up a little bit? It's also easy, let's be honest, for some of you in the room who are a little blunt. Like, some of you guys like to speak the truth a little bit too much. But some of you guys can come along and be like, hey, you're living in sin, brah, brah, like just blast people and be like, yes, I told them the truth. That was good. It was necessary. You'll appreciate it later. Like, if you just live in that realm, you're not a good friend. You need both. You need honesty, but you also need the delicacy, the tenderness, the caution of being aware. Because remember, when you're aware of your friend's heart and you're aware of how they're feeling, you hurt when they hurt, right? A good friend understands that if I'm going to be honest with you about something and it's going to hurt you for me to tell you this, they understand it's actually hurting me to hurt you. But I love you enough to do it anyway. Because a good friend gives. They're sacrificial. A good friend is honest. It's going to hurt to hear, but I got to say it. The pain I create for you creates pain for me. All right, next two Proverbs, our last two. Proverbs 27:9 and 27:17. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. So you have these contrasting verses here. In one, it's very pleasant. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Earnest counsel. in the Hebrew means from the heart, like these deep, deep things. And counsel actually means secrets. Like it's like it's wisdom, but it's also secrets. And let me just throw a little caveat here, because I see it time and time again. You're going to go through things in this life. You're going to have questions like, I just don't know what to do right now. I don't know where to go. I don't know who to turn to. And you're going to want to talk to your friends. You're going to be like, let me go seek their perspective. And that's not wrong. But I just want you to know there is a huge, enormous, colossal difference between advice and wisdom. And so many of us, when we come to these fork in the roads and we're like, I don't know what to do, we seek advice and we get like 10 perspectives and then we're all confused even more. We're like, the water's just got even muddier. I don't know what to do. Everyone's giving me this advice. Advice is very different than wisdom. I'm not saying your friends can't be wise, but I would advise you if you as a 17 or 16 or 18 or whatever year old don't know what to do in this certain situation because your life experience is limiting the clarity for you, I might not trust the wisdom of another 17-year-old in it. I might go to someone a little older. I see a lot of people making really bad decisions because they made the decisions based off advice and not wisdom. Counsel does mean wisdom, but it's also like secrets. It's this idea that like from my heart, I'm going to confide in you. I'm going to tell my stuff to you. You ever have a friend who is so deep and so authentic and so vulnerable that they start to show their heart to you? Like you move below the surface stuff, you get to the pain, you get to the stuff that only you know and no one else. That's what that verse is getting at. And it's pleasant, right? But then verse 27:17, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. All of a sudden we go from pleasant to painful. We go from peace to like clashing. One man sharpens another. It's this idea that like sometimes it's not just about me sharing my heart and spilling my emotions and processing and venting and giving you counsel. Sometimes I don't need to share my perspective to give you the wisdom. Sometimes I just need to flat out tell you something. I need to sharpen you a little bit. Again, it's the balance. If you only come in as a sharpener, let me just tell you, man, let me tell you what you're not seeing. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful, painful, painful. But if you only ever come in as someone who's just revealing from their heart, let me tell you how I feel. Let me tell you what my emotions are. Let me just spill my... It's lopsided. All of a sudden, you're like this vulnerable mush of goo. Like there's nothing firm. There's nothing that's actually helping them sharpen at that point. And so last point here, a friend offers counsel. A good friend offers counsel. A good friend is constant. A good friend is aware and in tune to your heart. A good friend is honest, and a good friend offers counsel. They speak to you in ways that are pleasant by revealing their own heart and their own secrets. That's called vulnerability. A lot of us don't know how to trust someone to be vulnerable. A lot of us have masks on. I'm afraid if you really get to know me, you won't love me, and therefore I'll kind of give you this like level one stuff and keep it there. I'll never let you go to level 10. And the inauthenticity of that actually makes us invulnerable because we're afraid of what they'll think about us. We don't know how to be vulnerable. So oftentimes we err on passivity. This last point, counsel is getting at, you're vulnerable from your own heart and you give perspective and wisdom. It doesn't always have to be like, here's how I was feeling in that. Sometimes you can just give the wisdom. Sharpens iron. Good friend is constant, is aware, is honest, and offers counsel. That's what a good friend is. So do you have good friends? Do you have good friends in your life? Are you a good friend? There's a temptation when we look at this list, there's a temptation to kind of have two emotions. One is the feeling of longing, like, I want that. I want a friend who's constant, who's not just fair weather, who doesn't just come when it's easy, who doesn't just come at their own convenience. I want a friend who's willing to sacrifice for me. I want a friend who's vulnerable and honest and shows up all the time. I want that. I want a friend who's aware and in tune with my heart and knows me so well that they'll be sensitive with the things I'm delicate with and have a sensitivity towards, and they'll be aware of when I'm sad and hurt. I want that. I want a friend who's honest. I mean, I know it's going to hurt sometimes, but I want a friend who speaks into me. I need that. I want a friend who gives wise counsel, who shares from their own experiences and gives wisdom based on the word of God and based on what wisdom would do. I want that. And so there can easily be this sense of longing, craving. I want that kind of friend. The other emotion that can easily come after surveying this list is, let's be honest, is a sense of failure, a sense of overwhelm. Like when we look at this, that's what a good friend is? Whew, I'm not a good friend. How can anyone be a good friend? If that's the list, who's a good friend? So there's this sense of failure. Simply put, a good friend is someone who shows up for you and grows up with you. That's a good friend. Someone who shows up for you, like they're there, they're constant, they're available, they make themselves available to you, they show up for you, they insert themselves in when it's inconvenient to them, it costs them something to be your friend, they show up for you. They're honest, they're aware of your heart, they've invested time, you've built the trust, you have their vulnerability, they've shown up for you, and they grow up with you. This is the investment of time. Sad reality is, I don't think you can make a good friend or a best friend in like 1 month. I mean, you might make a strong connection, but a good friend is proven over time. I have one person in my life from high school that I'm still good friends with, one. And back in high school, I thought these are all my best friends. And time has proven, oh, like, and that's okay, that's part of life. I have one. I have two guys in my life that are like my best of best friends. Other than my wife, I have two guys that are like my dudes, my dog, two. That's not that many. I can count on one hand how many really, really good friends I have. Now, I have like good friends from a distance, and when we see each other, it's like normal again, and we catch up, and it's like, oh man, yeah, how's the wife and kids? Oh, cool, yeah, yeah. But we're not like in each other's lives. Time is the test. A good friend is someone who shows up for you and grows up with you. They're with you as you grow, and they're growing too. That's a good friend. But when we look at that list, it's like, dude, who has that? Man, I'm longing for that, but I feel like a failure in that. How can I... And I just want to point us very, very quickly to John 15. And I'm just going to read it for you. John 15, verse 12. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another." He's talking to his disciples. "As I have loved you, greater love has none than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends." Imagine Jesus in this room right now looking at you in the eyes and saying, "You are my friend. You are my friend." That's what he says to his disciples. "You are my friends." He's telling them, "I'm about to lay down my life for you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Jesus calls the disciples friends, and he calls us friends. The whole gospel story, through John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, Jesus is trying to paint this picture for his disciples. The entire Bible, the entire history of creation can kind of be summed up in this idea. God wants to be our friend. Jesus modeled what the ultimate friend does. He's constant. He's aware and in tune to our hearts. He's honest and gracious simultaneously. He's very gentle with his honesty. He gives counsel. He speaks into our lives. He shares from his own experience. He's vulnerable, but he also has wisdom, and so he can sharpen it. Like, Jesus models what the best friend looks like. See, so many of us crave belonging so much. It's what I was saying earlier with the social media stuff, that we will settle for subpar and toxic friendships because we're so terrified that this is as good as it gets. But Jesus is telling us, I can be your best friend. And when we find, when we choose to make Jesus our best friend, all of a sudden we begin to find our identity in him. And then all of a sudden, it's like, hey man, if my identity is in Jesus, and I speak truth into my friend, and then they decide they don't want to be my friend anymore because I was honest with them, well, my identity wasn't in that relationship anyway. It was in Jesus. If I find my purpose in Jesus, then all of a sudden it's like, I don't have to try to change who I am to impress other people. I don't have to try to adapt and adopt and be a chameleon in this group and then that group and be fake, and then lose myself and not even really know who I am. I just allow other people to define me. When we find our purpose in Jesus, all of a sudden it's like, I don't have to find that in other people. I can be who I am. And if they like it, awesome. If they don't, great. But it doesn't rattle me. Why? Because I'm rooted in Jesus. Tim Keller puts it this way: make Jesus the friend your heart desires, and you will begin to find all the friends your heart needs. When we start to put Jesus first, all of a sudden we stop pretending, we stop faking, we stop trying to impress them and impress them and put on a mask for that group and be insecure over here and just being ultra sensitive here and being dramatic there and being confrontational. Like, all that begins to cease. When Jesus is number one in our lives, then all of a sudden we begin to find other people who've made Jesus number one in their lives. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, really? You too? That's awesome. Do you kind of want to hang out? And then all of a sudden your compatibility is not based on who you're trying to be for each other. It's based on Jesus. The fact that you found your identity and purpose in him. You've learned that he's the ultimate friend. And then you're learning how to be a better friend because you're rooted in him. You can be the friend to other people that they need because you've learned what a good friend is through Jesus. Make Jesus the friend your heart desires, and you will find all the friends your heart needs. Let's pray. Jesus, we look at your word tonight, and we look at some really obscure passages and verses that are like, oh man, what is that talking about? But your word has so much to say on friends, friendships. A good friend is someone who is constant. It's not flaky. It's not inconsistent. It doesn't change. It doesn't abandon. Doesn't backstab. A good friend is constant. A good friend is aware and in tune to the hearts of those around them and sensitive to those and feels the pain of them. A good friend is someone who's honest and speaks truth into other people's lives as they receive truth. Because we all have blind spots and we need each other. We need each other to speak those truths. A good friend is someone who gives counsel out of their own vulnerability and authenticity, their deep heart and secrets, but also based on wisdom to sharpen. Jesus, you're the ultimate friend. You're the best friend. You modeled what that is like. And we stumble and fail. And Jesus, the truth is we're not good friends. It is so rare. But without good friends, we will perish. We need each other. Are we willing to lay down our own lives to be the good friend that others need instead of trying to change and put on masks and live in a false identity so that we think people will like us? Jesus, what if we found that identity in you so that we could be confident of whose we are and who we are with those around us? I pray that you would teach us how to become good friends, and I ask this in your name. Amen.